The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the free Odyssey app.
Forms on the right, babe.
Heart's not in it.
Not that Maggie.
So I gotta do it. You have a reputation. You do things. You sing in the open.
Back
you
gotta do it.
Chris McMichael. Sports Radio 101.9 FM. The Fan. WFAN.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. 202. McMonagle here with you on The Fan. 888-808-1019. That's the number to give me a call. You got me for 3 hours till 5 o'clock in the warm-up show. Rami on the other side. And we got you again till 5 a.m. in the warm-up show. Man, that was tough to watch. And then there was the baseball game. And that was just as tough to watch. As the Yankees again get pounded. Absolutely pounded right away. I mean, it's frustrating. These games, you know how it is, okay? We all know how it is. Watching these games in a baseball game, there's nothing worse than watching a baseball game and it being over within the first inning or two. They bat around in the first. It's a disaster. You sit there the entire time brooding. You go right to Twitter to take on that McMonagle who's been defending Cashman for years, that fat bastard who has nothing. Stop drinking the Kool-Aid, Chris. It's making you fat. All the stuff, you know, all the nonsense that goes on over, you got to, you know, take it out on me. I get it. And you think I'm not frustrated? You think I'm not disgusted? I'm disgusted. I told you last week I was on. Filled in for Keith on a Friday. Little overtime. I was on overtime to be disgusted with Carlos Rodon last week. And I told you the problem with Carlos Rodon and why he scared me. And why he scared me more than Luis Gil. Why certainly he scared me more than Gerrit Cole. Or really anyone else in this rotation that has been dreadful. This entire month went from being the best pitching staff in the American League and all of baseball, really, right there with Philadelphia, to being the 29th best. I mean, it's been a complete fall off the table for this entire starting rotation. But why I told you my biggest concern was Carlos Rodon, and this is exactly why. He has zero ability to get through any adversity. Any. And we've seen it now for like a calendar year almost. Whenever he came back to the Yankees, was it right after the All-Star break, right before the All-Star break? So we're looking at like a full calendar year of the experience that is Carlos Rodon. And I'm telling you right now, watching this dude pitch, yes, the fastball is getting teed off. Yes, that's not my concern. Yes, he needs to probably mix it in a little bit. He needs to locate better, all of that. Not my major concern. It's a concern. It's not my major concern because I do believe he has the stuff. And I think we can put to bed now that it's, or on some level, that, oh, it's, you know, they can't beat the good team. Sure, they can pound on this team. They can pound on the Blue Jays are in last place. They're awful. This lineup's been dreadful. Springer is at the end of his career. Hitting 2-3-run bombs in this game. It is not about, nor has it ever been about, how the Yankees perform against good teams. Other than Baltimore, who they're competing with for a division, and they are now tied. But other than Baltimore, for that specific reason of competing for the division, it never mattered to me. That's why I argued about, well, why aren't we including Cleveland? Why aren't we including this? Because it doesn't matter. We're picking and choosing. It doesn't matter. It's not who they play. It's how they play. It's always been that way. When they're like this, it doesn't matter who comes to play. It doesn't matter where they go. They are going to get beat the way they're playing right now, the way the lineup is going right now, but specifically the way this starting pitching is going right now. It doesn't matter what lineup they play. The Braves have struggled offensively. Not a problem. The last place Toronto Blue Jays have struggled offensively. Clearly not a problem. And watching Carlos Rodon in particular, it is the body language, it is the moping, it is the vast amounts of emotion. And I will tell you that even fighting back to stay in the game, it's a positive emotion, I guess. And I know we're all going to get nuts about Boone defending him in some way, and rightfully so. I'm mad at Boone. I was mad at the broadcast, let's be honest. The broadcast is giving it to you how important it was and how important it is for the team. John Flaherty is telling you that's going to go a long way with his teammates. It's going to go a long way with his teammates. But watching this game, the first inning of this game, there is no doubt. There is no doubt he is giving up runs. Doesn't have to be five. I didn't know he was going to give up five. I didn't know he was going to give up eight in the first two. But when he gives up a hard hit single off the glove of Volpe, which was a very difficult play, but a makeable one, and quite honestly, one that when the Yankees were playing great, Volpe made. It's just that's the way it's going. And I'm certainly not getting on Volpe. I'm just saying we've seen him make a ton of great plays, and when the Yankees are playing well, that ball goes into his glove, and there's one out to start the inning. Instead, it's a base hit, and then he hits kind of Falefa with a slider, and then obviously the grounder up. That slow, you know, spinning grounder up first base that Ben Rice, the inexperienced first baseman who's been a catcher most of his career, does not aggressively go get. It hits the bag, and then you see the reaction from Carlos Rodon. And I told you this last week. Carlos Rodon is an emotional roller coaster, and it's a freaking problem if you want to be a New York Yankee. It's a problem if you want to pitch under the pressure that he told us he welcomed when he first signed here. He told us it excited him to be a New York Yankee. That, and then even while he's injured, it's not about these regular season starts, it's about the postseason. A guy who pretended to welcome it clearly is head underwater, clearly is unable to deal with it. Because the second that ball hits that base, and he's clearly frustrated with Ben Rice, I knew the game was over because he has zero Andy Pettit in him. He has zero anybody, you know, I would, he actually has some David Wells in him because David Wells used to throw his hands up in the air every time a defender didn't make a play. But he has no ability to make a pitch. He has no ability to get a ground ball. He has no ability to work himself back into it in the moment. Sure, after giving up eight runs, did he have a nice innings, three, four, five? Yeah, great. He did. Am I hopeful? Aaron Boone's hopeful. Are we somewhat hopeful that maybe that could get him spinning in the right direction? I suppose. But here's the problem. Because I'm still the dope, you can call me up and yell at me. I believe this is a playoff team. I have no doubt this is a playoff team. They might not win the division, but this team is going to be playing playoff games. And here's the question. Can you trust a Carlos Rodon making $160 million where the minute things don't go right, whether it was last year, the injury coming back, the struggles, the kissing, the blowing the kiss to the fan in Anaheim, whatever the case may be, last year, complete disaster, could never get it going. And then whether it's the last few starts, and then whether it's that first inning in this game last night, he has zero ability to work his way out of it. And you saw him yelling at Rice, then he's having the conversation with Luis Rojas, then he's fighting to stay back in the game. It's just, even that, it's just part of an emotional roller coaster that is Carlos Rodon. And some guys thrive in those situations. Some guys are able to be those emotional wrecks. You know, as we were, I had some. We were talking about the Roger Clemens game in the World Series as the Subway Series was approaching the other night. He was an absolute nutcase, and riding that emotional roller coaster. But for a lot of the time, Roger Clemens was able to thrive in it. Carlos Rodon is the opposite of thriving in it. He folds under it. There is no question. I'm open to he's going to continue to get starts, and maybe he can work his way out of it. But right now, I have zero confidence. Zero. Once this team gets back on at least a roll or playing somewhat good baseball, can he pitch well again this year? Sure, he can. I don't think Carlos Rodon is going to give up 6-7 runs every single start the rest of the year. He might work his way back into a groove because you know what? He does throw 97 miles an hour. He does have good stuff. And I would expect he'll get on some sort of roll and pitch fairly well. But the problem is in a big game. And make no mistake. Yes, this is a game in June. No doubt. And ultimately, win or loss, it doesn't dramatically change my thought process or how I view this team on any real level, no more than the Met game did or tonight's game will do. Like, It's just a game, but it's not for the players. And it's not for the pressure Carlos Rodon has put on himself. Not when he's lost and got bombarded his previous two, knowing the Yankees are on a losing streak, heading on the road to the last place team, and yet in the division where this Yankee team has completely failed and has had a miserable stretch against, other than Tampa Bay, have lost to almost every team in the division, under 500 in the division, and they need a stopper, and he's $160 million. He's supposed to be that guy. So while it's not a game that dictates the playoffs or a game that, you know, suddenly makes me feel like this team has no chance, or I know maybe you, I'm sure you, a lot of you felt like that yesterday and the day before, and really any time they lose a game. But as this much might not have been a big game in the standings or a big game, it's a big game for him. It's a big game for him coming off what he's coming off, losing streak. There's pressure on this game. He put pressure on himself, and he does not, I mean, thrive under pressure. He completely folds under it. That is the problem. Is he throwing his fastball too much? Sure. Are guys jumping on his fastball? Is it even possible that this rotation in some way has gotten predictable? And that not at all that the bloom is off the rose on Matt Blake, because I think Matt Blake is an excellent pitching coach. But maybe, just maybe, the idea of exactly how they pitch, the amount of fastballs, the high fastballs, where like their style of pitching has become a little bit predictable. I think because this rotation has completely fallen off, there's probably something to that on some level that maybe they become predictable. Or that certainly at least Rodon has. Now, he's worked in other stuff. He has a good slider. He has a good fastball. But you can't throw nothing but fastballs. And then when you leave one over the plate down the middle, it's going to get crushed. So, sure, are there real issues with his location? Absolutely. Does he have to work on trying to figure out a little bit better of a pitch mix? Try to attack hitters a little bit a different way? Maybe work backwards occasionally? Or, you know, do something to change the way he's been pitching and the... maybe the repetition that he's been throwing out there, and maybe the, you know, that these teams have caught up to how he's trying to attack. Sure, all of those things are absolute issues. It's not my main issue. It's not what concerns me. That can be figured out because I watch him pitch and he does have good stuff. That can be figured out. The problem is right now, if anything goes wrong, and to be fair to him, and here I am, Mr. To Be Fair, it's just, I think fair is fair. That first inning, he hits IKF with a slider in the back foot, and then he gets the squibber of all squibbers that his teammate doesn't know how to play. He did get some bad luck. I think that's okay to say. The point is, you're going to run into bad luck. The point is, if you get paid $160 million, you pick up your teammate instead of getting pissed off at him and letting the inning unravel from there. That's the problem. Was it bad luck? Of course it was. Of course it was. Did he get better as the game went on? Yeah, he did. Did he still have 9 strikeouts? Sure, he's got good stuff. Not the problem. Not the issue. The issue is he can't be trusted. The issue is the slightest thing goes wrong and he can't handle it. And if he gets... bombarded, he yells and screams and cries and fights and everything else. There is no even-keeled nature to him in the slightest. He is up and down and up and down. Even at the end, trying to fight to stay in the game. I applaud him. Many guys at that point, I agree with Flaherty. A lot of guys at that point, after getting their ass kicked, giving up 8 runs in the first 2 innings, giving your team 0 chance to win in a game that they're desperate to win against the last-place team in their division, that has had trouble scoring runs all year long. IKF is hitting too. IKF. And this is where this is the fun part where we get to say, oh, this Yankee lineup sucks. Yeah, it sucked last year. They had IKF and Bader. Both of them just killed them. Oh, it was just as bad last year. Cashman, the lineup sucks. Yeah, IKF and Bader just pounded them. Bader hit 2 home runs. IKF, his foot won the game. But there is zero ability to overcome. Zero. He has none of it. Now, I think Nestor Cortez has moments where his stuff doesn't play and he just gets hit. But I feel like there's some ability to make a pitch. I think Marcus Stroman, the only game we've won recently where he took out the Atlanta Braves, huge start for him tonight off a five-game losing streak. They need Marcus Stroman to pitch well coming back to Toronto, pitching against his former team. I think he has the ability to make some pitches in the moment to get out of a jam, to overcome an error, to overcome a mishap, to overcome a hit batsman. Carlos Rodon's stuff-wise is a postseason pitcher. Carlos Rodon's stuff-wise is someone possibly making the second or third start in a playoff series. Carlos Rodon mentally? Carlos Rodon in the big, bright spotlight of a big game, like an ALDS or an ALCS or a wild card game? How can you possibly trust him? How can you possibly trust him? And he's done it. It's on him. There's no reason for anyone to think otherwise right now. Because it's not just the last three starts. It's not. It's all of last year. And it's the last three starts. And it's the obvious, like, sometimes we're idiots. And then sometimes, if you're a baseball fan, you pick up on things and you're perceptive. And I shouldn't just say baseball fan, all fans in any sport. Sometimes we're dumb and we assume things, and then sometimes we have an understanding if you've watched a team, a player, a game, a sport enough. And I don't know about you, but I would think almost any Yankee fan that has watched this team and watched Carlos Rodon pitch for the last year, the minute that ball hits the bag, the minute Ben Rice doesn't make that play, the minute you see him frustrated at the whole situation, kiss the game goodbye. That is just a fact. And you can't have a pitcher that you count on. You can't have a pitcher that makes $160 million. You can't have a guy you're supposed to trust and give him the ball in a playoff game where you know if Chuck Knobloch lets the ball roll and points at the first baseman, the game is over. Where you know if someone makes an error, the game is over. You know if an attempted steal gets thrown into center field, the game is over. You can't have that. So we can talk about the rest of this lousy team in the offense. They're down 8-0 in the second inning. I find it very hard to judge an offense. It doesn't mean they have to give up, only score two runs on three hits or whatever it was. They could have been better, no doubt. They could have worked their way. They could have shown fight. I get it. I'm not happy with the offense. But over the last couple games, as much as we might scream about the offense, outside of the first inning of both Met games, my problem isn't with the offense yet. We might get there. My problem right now is they're in games that don't get started. They're in games by the second or third inning. It's over. It's hard to ask that offense to come back from 8-0. Now, they can. It's plausible. They're allowed to. But right now, with the state of the injuries, the state of this offense right now, they're not going to. And this starting pitching that's been great for them all year has got to figure out a way to turn this around. And whether it's changing up sequences or whatever they have to do. But for Carlos Rodon, it's much more than that. It's being able to get through adversity. It's being able to have one of those starts that every starting pitcher talks about, that, you know, famously Mike Mussini used to talk about. 10 starts, you have your great stuff. 10 starts, you can't get anybody out. There's those 10 starts in the middle, right? That cliche we hear all the time. Rodon will be 0-10 in those 10 starts in the middle until he changes his ways, until he figures out a way, until they figure out a way. And you want to get on Boone? Everybody thinks I don't get on Boone enough. Need to get on Boone. The manager sucks, this, that, and the other. Let me tell you this. In Boone, we have seen Gary Sanchez waste his career away moping. We have seen Gleyber Torres now have a terrible year and not run out ground balls and make mistakes and mope. And now we are seeing an emotional Carlos Rodon mope and cry and yell and scream. Now, every player is an individual, but he has got to find a way to help when these things are going bad because the Yankees are full of mopers. And when they were winning championships, things went wrong. They won 87 games in 2000. It wasn't always the 1998 Yankees. But they got their asses off the deck and they didn't freaking mope. And they didn't walk around with their tails between their legs. And I don't know if it's the bitterness that the fan base has created. I'm not blaming you. Don't get me wrong. I'm just trying to figure out a reason why this team consistently has mopers. And it's on Judge, too. He tried to get in LeMahieu's face. He's the captain. He's the leader. Get in Gleyber Torres' face and say, stop walking around like a loser. Because if you walk around like a loser, you'll be one on the field. 888-808-1019. 888-808-1019. We'll take your phone calls on the Yankees, who clearly are in a funk. And overall, yeah, you want to hear me say it? I'm not panicking yet. They're 20 games over 500. They're tied for first place. This, too, shall pass. They are not this bad. Are they not as good as they were for the first 2 months? I'm open to that. Sure. They're not that good. They were playing maybe above who they are. But I will still take the 2 months over the 2 weeks. And sometimes it's not a direct path to 95, 100 wins. Sometimes it's a crazy hot start with a lull, 500 for a while, back to a hot finish. Who knows? It's not always 650 baseball every day of the season. But they've got to find some answers. And hopefully they need one big-time start from Stroman or someone to just put an end to it. Because if you are looking for the guy who says, hop on, guys, I got you. Get me two tonight. I got you. That's all right, Ben. You dropped the ball. I got you. If you're looking for that guy, it ain't Carlos Rodon. That's for sure. Hopefully it's Marcus Stroman, who was on Twitter the other day coming after all of us in the media yelling at Gleyber Torres. Maybe he's, stand up for his guys. Maybe he's the guy who steps up. He stepped up the other night and won the only game they've won in what feels like 3 weeks when I was there Saturday night against Atlanta. They need him to step up. Someone has to step up and take charge, win a game, get a little bit of the momentum back, and go pound this lousy fraud Blue Jays team that might be selling everybody, including Vladimir Guerrero. But it's got to start soon. But no, I'm not panicking yet. No, I do not think this is the New York Yankees. No, I do not think they're destined to live out the same thing as 2022, which, by the way, in 2022, they won 99 games, won a division, were playing in the ALCS. You wouldn't sign for that? I might. 888-808-1019. McMonagle here with you, taking your Yankee calls to start. We'll get to the Knicks in the second round. And, of course, Bronny, who's heading out to Los Angeles to play with his father, should be fun. And then, I don't know if anything else happened in the world, but we could talk about it, I suppose. 888-808-1019. 888-808-1019. McMonagle here with you until 5 o'clock in the warm-up show right here on The Fan.
We know what we think. What do you think? Call The Fan. 888-808-1019. Powered by Paramount Plus. Stream the NFL on CBS live on Paramount Plus.
I wish I found some better sounds. All right, 2:30, McMonagle here with you on The Fan. I wish I found some chords. 888-808-1019. I mean, yeah, listen, this is the stuff. I turn over to take the phone call. First guy, here we go. Right into the fire. Let's go. Out the fire, out the frying pan, into the fire. I'm in. All right, here we go. Everybody ready? All right. I talked to this gentleman the other night. He seemed like a reasonable guy as far as I can remember, but it seems okay. All right. Okay. I'm ready for a debate. Let's get to the calls. 888-808-1019. Rodon stinks. Rodon can't get out of trouble. Rodon folds the second adversity hits. They get bombed again, lose to the Blue Jays 9-2, the first of four in Toronto. They better turn it around quick. The offense has stunk, but it's hard to get on them when they're down 9 runs before the third inning, as far as I could tell. But, I'm sure you might have a different opinion. But let's see what the callers have to say after another debacle night for the New York Yankees. Gregorio in Soho, what's up, bud?
Chris, what's going on? I appreciate taking the call.
Oh, again. Thank you for making it.
Chris, let me tell you something. If you have a central air, I would bump that air up because I'm going to tell you, I have a hot take for you.
Okay, a hot take.
You have to think, with Juan Soho, obviously, he's not signed till next year.
He's not signed, yeah,
maybe
at all.
Exactly. Maybe we trade him.
Yeah.
Right? We trade him for Vlad Guerrero Jr., maybe take back a George Springer contract. He signed for another 4 years. It's a bad contract. He's not good. You take that back in, and then maybe in the offseason we negotiate with Juan Soto.
What in the world are you talking about?
First baseman.
Why do you want...
Vlad is a blue chipper.
Oh, my God.
He'd be amazing in Yankee Stadium.
Stop. Please stop it. Do you think he's better than Juan Soto?
If he was signed long-term, I would, obviously I'd feel a little more comfortable, but in open market, you never know.
You want to trade Juan Soto for Vladimir Guerrero?
You got Uncle Stevie in the Queens. You know what he's going to do? He's going to offer him more money than the Yankees.
So? We all know that.
I'm telling you right now. Steve Cohen
is
the modern-day George Steinbrenner.
Okay, that's great. That's fantastic. And I hope he has the same success George Steinbrenner had in the 80s. But let me ask you a question. How in the world does that make the Yankees better? Are you trying to make the Yankees better or worse?
Long-term, yes. I'm worried about long-term.
All right, long-term.
Wait a second.
Before you even tell me about the concerns of long-term, that makes sense. Fine, you're going to tell me Baltimore, fine. How does Vladimir Guerrero for this half a season and then next year, and then you got to pay him, and bringing in the aging wonder that is George Springer, and shipping Juan Soto there, which, by the way, why would Toronto, who's in last place, want Juan Soto, who they have to pay next year? Why do they want half a season of Juan Soto?
Why?
But forget about Toronto.
Why in God's name would you trade Juan Soto? They missed an Ohtani.
You just pay him in the offseason.
They could sign him long term, possibly Toronto.
No, they can't. They could try to sign him.
I'm
trying to be kind to you, but what you're saying makes absolutely no sense on any front in any way. It doesn't make sense for Toronto. It doesn't make sense for the Yankees.
I personally would take Vlad Guerrero right now over Soto.
You're out of your mind. Have you looked at what? He's only got him OPS by 180 points or so. Like, what are you talking about?
You trust Juan Soto long term?
Yes, he's 26 years old. I trust him more long term than anybody else. Look at his year. Do you want to compare numbers between him and Vladimir Guerrero? Because I don't think you know what you're talking about. He is so far and away a better player than Vladimir Guerrero. It's not even worth discussing.
It's hard to get a first baseman that hits like Vlad.
No, it's not. It's really not. It's hard to get a 26-year-old generational player who, when he slumps, has a 420 on base percentage. That's what's hard. And that's why Steve Cohen's going to offer him all that money. Do you want to see who makes more money in the open market? I'm sorry. I can't. I'm going to turn it off. I'm serious. I can't do it. No. That can't be the first call of the show. The first call of the show can't be trade Juan Soto. The guy's got to be messing with me. I'm going to calm down because he can't be real. That can't be real. That's totally just designed to piss me off. And it worked. I'm seriously, he gave me the whole air conditioning thing at the start. Like, it's all nonsense, right? It's got to be all nonsense. Because, listen, I was the first one to tell you about the Yankees trading for Vladimir Guerrero. It's kind of making its circles now. I said it 2 weeks ago, the day they traded Biggio. I said, hey, Yankees need a first baseman. Maybe the Toronto's looking to break up this whole core, talking about trading for Vladimir Guerrero. I said it 2 weeks ago. Marash said it yesterday. I heard Boomer and Gio talking about it. Obviously, he's asked about it. Did that video circulating where he talked about, his easing off his stance of hating the Yankees. Now, all of a sudden, it's becoming a thing. I said it 2 weeks ago. And that's not to take bows. Yes, it is. But I'm just saying, I'm open to trading for Vladimir Guerrero, as crazy as that sounds. I'm open to it. I suggested it 2 weeks ago. trading Juan Soto for Vladimir Guerrero and George Springer is the dumbest thing I've ever heard. You trade prospects so that you help the team. I'm trying to help this year's team. Why on earth am I getting rid of Juan Soto? Even if you don't like him long term, I'm finishing the rest of the year with him and hope I win. Like, even if you said, I don't trust him long term. He's a bad outfielder. He's going to be a DH. He's going to make $600 million. There's an argument to be made. I'll disagree with it, and I can come back at you with my opinion on it. But I suppose if someone was so inclined, they could call me and make a case that signing Juan Soto long-term is a mistake. I'm open to that. We can have a discussion. I disagree. But I guess if I had to make that argument, I could make it. I could make it. But because of your fear of long-term, you want to trade him away for Vladimir Guerrero, who has a half a year this year and then next year, and then George Springer and his, in your own words, terrible contract? Come on now. If you don't trust him long-term, you ride this out and you try and win with him this year and then let him go, I suppose. But my goodness. They're not trading Juan Soto. I thought you were going to say trade Juan Soto because the Yankees suck, not because you thought this would make you better. I don't even know what that was. They're not trading Juan Soto. It's ridiculous. They're going to try and sign him for the next 15 years. Because even when he slumps, he has a 440 on base percentage. That's why. He is a great player. As of late, his defense has taken a hit. I don't know if the forearm injury is a thing. He's slumping a little bit. I don't know if the forearm injury is a thing. But I felt like he's played very good, solid defense this year in right field. Not Gold Glove caliber, but solid. I don't think it's hurt them. I mean, he won a game. He won the game in Houston to start the year with a big throw. It felt like it changed. It made us all feel like we all had these goo-ga-ga-ga eyes for him. We were in love with him, full-bloom love. And now we want to trade him for Vladimir Guerrero? Are you out of your mind?
Well, that's why you're a clown. Bye.
That's why you're a clown. Bye. No, I mean, listen, if you want to trade for Vladimir Guerrero, I'm open to it. I don't know. It might cost you Spencer Jones. I have no idea. But you're not gonna give your better player for him. I shouldn't even be giving it this much talk. But, I mean, and why would the Blue Jays do it? Like, think about that. Yeah, they missed on Ohtani. Just sign him in the offseason. He's not going to help you now. You're in last place. Your seasons, they've been terrible now. Listen, and it could change, but you're not going to trade Vladimir Guerrero away, George Springer away, add Juan Soto. Why would the Blue Jays do that? That doesn't make them better. It's robbing Peter to pay Paul. They're not doing that. Man. Pat, Northern Virginia. What's up, Pat?
Chris. The good news is there's nowhere to go but up after
that
call. Yes,
that is for sure.
Okay.
That is for sure. I'm very good.
I know. I heard you the other night briefly, and you seemed to take an optimistic take saying another 2022. I didn't hear your whole line of argument, so, but I'm just not getting a good feeling right now.
Oh,
there's so many. There's so many holes to plug, and they're not even competing. I mean, like you said, they're behind. It's just, it looks like they feasted early on on a weak schedule with the starting pitchers.
That's what I'm just saying. The Blue Jays are in last place. It's not about the weak schedule. It's not. They just got pounded by the Blue Jays, all right? And I know the Mets are surging. They were under 500. It's not about necessarily, and they have a great lineup, so it doesn't feel that way, but Atlanta struggled offensively all year. It's not about the opponent. It's so overblown. They weren't feasting on an easy schedule. I mean, they started the year with the Astros and the defending National League champs. They beat Cleveland. There are three playoff teams in the Central. I know, I guess that doesn't count. That's like part of my argument, because it's like, only they've been feasting on bad teams. The other three, there are three playoff teams that they pounded, but no one cares because they're in the Central and we don't think they're good. Meanwhile, Cleveland has the best record in the American
League. If it started today, I think I would take Cleveland in the series, though.
Well, that's what I'm saying. That's my point. Right now, I would take the Minnesota Twins right now. I would take the Kansas City Royals. They are playing terribly at the moment. This pitching staff was the best pitching staff in all of baseball for 2 months. Now they can't get an out. There's going to be this is not them. Like they might never return to that quality. I'm open. That's very likely. In fact, they might not ever be the best rotation in the sport again. But I don't think
they will revert to a better mean.
They're going to be better than this. They'll get another hot streak.
But how do you fix the bullpen?
Yeah, you got to go get some arms. You got Efros coming back at some point. You got to add another couple arms. No doubt.
Trevino? What's Trevino's status?
He's the catcher on the team. I suppose there's an upgrade.
No.
Oh, I'm sorry,
from the A's.
Yeah, the relief pitcher. Luke. Yeah, he's had a couple of setbacks. I don't know about Trevino. I wouldn't count on him necessarily.
Loaizaga's gone, right?
Loaizaga's gone. Efros is the guy coming back. That's really it. Then there's like the guys there's the guys like Birdie who they had high optimism for with some stuff.
He looked good early.
I think he might be coming back from an injury eventually. They do have some arms in the back end of in the minor leagues that could come up and help them. You also have Clark Schmidt returning. You could see him thrusted into a bullpen spot when he comes back. So, and then you got to go trade for guys, no doubt. You have to go trade.
Yeah, it was interesting. I heard the other night on the TV broadcast, they said, wow, Victor Gonzalez was kind of a surprise. You know, you don't see a left-handed arm get DFA'd.
Yeah.
And that was kind of the first time where you saw a guy who'd had success elsewhere come to the Yanks and kind of just, be cut loose quick.
Yeah.
I mean, usually with like the Clay Holmes mode, they retool these guys.
No doubt.
I don't know. What happens.
Right.
I hope you're proven right, but Labor and DJ got to get it going.
Yeah, they got to get it going. But also, I mean, they traded for John Birdie, who is a nice little player.
He
got hurt.
Dominguez.
And then they had Dominguez waiting in the wings to come back, and Dominguez gets hurt. Like, I'm not trying to make the season about injuries. It's not. But I'm just saying, where's the answers? Dominguez eventually will come back. It's not a season-ending injury. Dominguez can come back and try and help this team. Do we now think Dominguez sucks? Like, hopefully Dominguez can come back. John Birdie can be a piece where it's better than maybe J.D. Davis, or it's maybe better than Cabrera. Like, John Birdie's been asking the Met fan what kind of player John Birdie is when he played with the Marlins. He's a pesky little hitter. He had 300 last year. Like, he could be a nice little addition. Plus, you got to go out, no doubt, you have to go out there and be super aggressive at the trade deadline and get some pieces. I don't think they're going to get a superstar, but you got to get some ancillary pieces. Evan was talking today about the Atlanta Braves. The Atlanta Braves got Jacques Peterson and Jorge Soler, and it ended up being a better trade than the Dodgers, who got Scherzer and Turner. Like, and that's the difference between 22 and this year, is the holes are being exposed and the injuries have happened before the deadline. And they have an opportunity to go out there. I don't think Verdugo is suddenly going to be the worst hitter in baseball. I don't think Leyber Torres is going to be the worst hitter in baseball. Right now, they're terrible. Both of them. And DJ LeMahieu, like, they're no doubt. If that never changes, if Gleyber Torres never hits, they have a major problem on their hands. If Verdugo is a 200 hitter the rest of the season, they have a problem on their hands. But he's also a guy who thrived in the first and was a big part with the whole dog thing and the way he played defensively and some big hits and putting the ball in play, not striking out, sacrifice flies. You know, he's had his moments. Moving him to the cleanup was like a line of demarcation where the offense took off. We forget. The offense took off. The offense was leading the American League in runs scored for a while Judge was terrible in April. It wasn't just Judge. And I'm not telling you, I know for sure the Yankees will get back there. That's not what I'm saying. But we all act like we know for sure they're going to be this terrible forever. There is going to be, they're not going to just fade and lose 100 games. Like, they're going to be okay. The question is, they're going to make the playoffs. I still firmly believe that. There are a lot of holes. They got to fill them. Brian Cashman has an immense job on his hands. He's going to have to go out there and make a bunch of moves. But they have the trade deadline. After the trade deadline, come talk to me. If Brian Cashman does nothing, I promise you. People forget, last year I said Brian Cashman should be fired. Nobody remembers it because I'm Cashman's guy. But last year I said the best outcome probably right now, considering the fan base, considering the lousy job he's done over the last 2 or 3 years, it's probably best for the organization not to give him another contract and just move on. That's what I said in the offseason. When they signed him, I didn't cry because I don't think it's a disaster. I disagree with many of you. I think Brian Cashman's good at his job. But it was just time. It's been long enough. I was ready to say goodbye to Brian Cashman. And if Brian Cashman, I'll tell you right now, if Brian Cashman does nothing over the trade deadline, if they get nothing accomplished, if he doesn't get legitimate players to come in here and help this team, then I'll be right there with you. I'll be on the picket line with you. I want to win. I just don't automatically, off 2 weeks, think that 2 weeks is the more important and more truth and more telling than the 2 months. That's all. How great is Baltimore? They have the same record. Baltimore's the greatest team. They've beaten the Yankees 5 out of 7 and still have the same record. What happened to them? Now, they don't have as many glaring holes right now with injuries and such, but why aren't they 10 games better than the Yankees? Winning's not easy. They just lost 5 in a row before winning 2 in a row. This isn't easy. This is difficult. They're going through a stretch. I'm more concerned about more like telling signs, like a starting pitcher in Rodon who I don't think can overcome anything. That's a problem. That's a problem. But they still have a trade deadline to go and pack this team. I'm not pounding my chest saying they're going to win the World Series, but they're not this bad. They weren't as good as they were when they were winning every single game, and they're not as bad now when they are losing every single game. And my only point about 2022 is, yes, miserable down the stretch, got swept in the ALCS, they won 99 games and won a division. I'd sign for that right now and hope that Juan Soto in this offense can do more in the postseason and Judge can actually hit. Because let's be honest, if Judge hit like Bader in that Astros series, they're not swept. They might not win it, but they're not swept. Judge did nothing. If Judge is a dominant force in a postseason series, who knows? Like, let's just cool it. That's all. Before we burn the whole thing down and say the team sucks and they have no chance and everything's just, you know, throw it in the garbage, trade away Soto, trade away anything that walks, rebuild with a new GM and a new manager. Okay. You want to do that? Go ahead. I still want to chase this thing. I still think this team can win. Paul in Hartford. What's up, Paul?
Hey, Chris. How you doing?
Good. How are you?
Yeah, on a Yankee point here, I think definitely the pitching, they're at an interesting crossroad here because I think Gill is definitely a guy who needs some time off right now who didn't pitch all last year. And then you got, with Cole, probably needed some more time on rehab starts. You're just in a rough patch right now with the starting pitching because I think both guys, one guy needs time off and one guy needs more time, and they're still going to win 100 games.
Well, I don't know about 100, but I think they're going to be a playoff team.
Exactly. So I think they just need to figure that out, and they'll get back on track, and everything will be fine. As far as, like, looking at what they're going to do going at the trade deadline, which is most interesting,
yeah.
This is my question to you now. Do you think with Dominguez and Spencer Jones are going to be the two biggest chips, how do they factor now them into the trade deadline and what they want to do? Are they going to go out and get impact players and want to trade for a guy like McMahon from Colorado and lure him away with guys like that? Or do they want to go out and get a guy like Vaughn from Chicago? Because the bottom line is, there's not too many teams that are going to be selling at the deadline.
Bingo.
So do the Yankees, do they want to take guys, high-impact prospects like those guys, and go out for a big splash and lure Colorado and hope? I mean, that guy who first called was just baiting you. He's an idiot. So the bottom line is, do you want to take those guys, those prospects, big prospects, and try to get a guy like McMahon in here with Dominguez and Jones, or are they going to fit into the trade equation?
Yeah, well, Dominguez won't. You're going to keep Dominguez. 100%.
100%.
You're not trading Dominguez. You're hoping Dominguez can be a piece of this team that helps right now, plus he's hopefully your starting center fielder next year, and part of the reason you feel like you can go sign Juan Soto because you're going to have a starting center fielder you don't have to pay. I mean, that's – I don't think there's
–
There's no...
I couldn't agree with you more. That's why right now I would honestly, as a Yankee fan, I'm a Mets fan, but I would look at, and I love New York baseball. I would look at trading Spencer Jones for a guy like McMahon and making them a big offer and getting Soto back.
Yeah, I mean, it's not crazy at this point. I mean, I'm open to trading Spencer Jones. I mean, they're very high on him. Everybody's talking glowingly of him. He got off to a miserable start this year. He's starting to work his way back, getting a little bit hot lately. I hate to do it necessarily, but I got to give this team a chance. It's too big a season. We don't know if Juan Soto's coming back. But then that's the, you know, you trade him away, lose, and then lose Juan Soto in the offseason. That sucks. I mean, that's almost worst case scenario. Worst case scenario is you use Spencer Jones as a trade chip to get a player in here. You lose anyway, and then Juan Soto signs elsewhere in free agency, and now the replacement you had, whether it was going to be this next year or the year after, the outfield of Jones, Dominguez, and Judge to keep payroll down with your stud, you know, prospects that came through the system, now that deal's done. That sucks. Now, it would depend on who you got them for and how much years of control they had or whatever, but that's what's scary. But I think you have to be open to do it because you don't know if Juan Soto's coming back. And this team's, they need a championship. There's just no two ways around it. The fan base, the team, everybody, they need a championship. They have to go out there and give it everything. And again, I promise you, I mean, it's funny because I understand I'm the Cashman guy. And someone once told me you got to be famous for your opinions. So I put it out there. I have a lot of fun with it from time to time. But we act like I've never criticized the man or I've never said it is a bad move. I can go through. The last 3 years have been a disaster for him. Only an idiot would say different, and I never have. The last 3 years have been a disaster. I just don't count all 25 as a disaster like so many do. Or like the last 15 or every move. He had a great... When he broke it down and traded all those pieces in 15 and 16, excuse me, and then in 17, they're in the ALCS... I thought he had a great couple of years. 2019, everybody went down. Every single piece he made, whether it was Gio Urshela or Luke Voit, like he did an incredible job saving that team to still win 100 games. I think Brian Cashman did a great job in 2017, 18, and 19. Great. And then since 2020, he sucked. Everything he's done since 2020 has been a disaster. How could I argue? It's a fact. And if he does nothing at this deadline and comes up short looking for the perfect deal or is not willing to do this or not willing to do that, and he doesn't bring in another corner infielder and he doesn't get at least two bullpen arms that are legit, not literal off the scrap heap and hoping Matt Blake do it, but like legit guys who are pitching well this year for someone else, if he doesn't figure out a way to get these things done, I'll be right there with you screaming for his head. He's got to do it.
What do you think their biggest need is at the deadline?
I mean, right now it feels like corner infielder. Now it feels like corner infielder. It used to be bullpen.
So you think the starting pitching is just in a funk and they'll get
back? Yeah, I don't think they're going to add a starting pitching. I think you got Clark Schmidt coming back eventually. I don't think they're going to add a starting pitcher. I would be surprised if they do. Unless they just can't make a trade anywhere else and feel like, hey, we have an option to get a really good starting pitcher and bolster that part of our team and just make our strength. And I still think the starting rotation has been a strength for this team. Carlos Rodon scares me right now, and we'll see about Luis Gil, but you know what Gerrit Cole's going to come through. I mean, he's going to be all right. He's going to be good. I think Stroman's been good. He's been arguably one of the better, you know, free agent signing pitchers. You look at the rest of them. Montgomery's been terrible. Snell's been terrible. I think you could argue, you know, Stroman's been a great signing. And in Yankee Stadium, especially, I trust Nestor Cortez. Like, I don't see going out and getting a starting pitcher. But definitely two bullpen arms and a corner infielder are musts. Must. And then you can play whoever at second base. Whoever gets hot, I guess. Cabrera, LeMahieu. Torres, whoever's playing best at that time, you play him at second base. But corner infielder and relief pitching is a must. And if he doesn't get it done, I'll be right there with you. But that's the difference between this year and that year. A lot of those injuries happened after the trade deadline. Like, and the guys they traded for got hurt. I mean, Benintendi went down. I mean, Carpenter went down all after the deadline. Like, it just, they didn't have the recourse to know what the holes were exactly to go fill them. They tried, right? They traded for Bader. They knew they needed an outfielder with Hicks and Gallo and everything. Like, they traded for Bader. They had Carpenter, who was killing it. And then all the injuries hit after the trade deadline. Right now, the injuries are hitting now. You get a real good look at what you need. You have a feel for what you need. And they have to go out and attack it at the deadline. And that's when this team, we're going to find out what this team is at the trade deadline. Is it ideal to go in with a bunch of holes and fix yourself at the trade deadline? No. But, I mean, we are, people don't forget, people forget. I don't, because I do this every night. There was a time in this season where the Yankee offense, and we would talk, the Yankee offense was killing it, and we were talking about all the depth there. Oh, and Dominguez is just, there's no spot. Everyone's playing so well, there's even no spot for Dominguez. Like, that was a conversation less than a month ago. That the Yankee offense was doing so well, and Verdugo was doing so well, and Stanton was so hot, that there was literally no place to play Jason Dominguez. And now we would walk across hot coals to get Jason Dominguez here. Things change.
Well, there was always a spot in the infield.
Well, that's true. But still. 888-808-1019. 888-808-1019. Mick Monagle here with you on The Fan. Come back. Continue taking your phone calls all the way to 5 o'clock right here on The Fan.